Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking packs.
Back by popular demand. NASCAR's getting their money's worth, too, because they're working us extra. We're bringing back spare change for you on Thursdays. Happy to do it. Breaking down a little bit of Talladega with a Bubba Wallace interview in the mix here. So going down to the big one. This is the one we've had circled on our schedule for the 17 because it is the chance to turn our season around in one day, as it is everybody else's. But I think we have a great shot to be able to do it. Turns into a track position race. Turns into a fuel mileage race. And you got to be in the right lane at the right time to be able to find your way up front. But I think we can do it.
I'm excited for you. I think you have a great week.
We've been in the mix there.
I think you can run second.
The 12 team is strong. what, two out of the last four maybe y'all have won?
Man, there's guys, though. There's a couple guys. Bubba's one of them.
Yep.
That are just really strong.
They got fast cars, and they make the right moves, and they have good help, and they get to the front.
And then William Byron ends up winning. That's just how it seems like.
There's the 11, there's the 22, there's the 23, there's the 12, and those guys just rise to the top.
Yeah.
Fast cars, good strategy, right moves, good help. They have the respect from the field so they don't get hung out. The guys don't try to put them top three or bad spots, and they just find their way to the front.
Yep.
So those are the ones you're going to keep your eye on. Hopefully the 7's in that mix as well, and I anticipate it to be.
Can you plan, though, to miss the big one or
no?
What is your plan? You're not going to ride in the back. You're going to try to run in front all day, right?
You can't afford to ride in the back.
It's not like that anymore.
It actually worked out for us at Daytona. We weren't trying to ride in the back. We had to take a little more fuel on the last stop, so we missed the pack essentially as it wore down to it. They all crashed, and then we were in like a 3-car draft.
Now you might finish in the top 5 if you do that.
You're not going to win a race.
You're not going to win a race. You have to be up there.
You have to be in the first two
rows. No. Let me go back on that. You might, because the whole field might wreck.
Yeah, like,
they honestly could.
Yeah, doubtful though.
But to win this race, I think you're going to have to be up front, contending for it all day.
And controlling the lines. But that's the thing. We've even seen the last. It's been so that the margins are so small that if you are leading a line, you're burning more fuel than everybody else. You have to come down and you have to take 0.4, 0.6 more of gas from the guy that's been running 7th, and then you get flipped.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to how much fuel you can save. You want to be 3rd, 4th in line to save a little more gas to be able to flip those guys that had to take a full can or something like that at the end. So if you want to get into the weeds, you can get into the weeds as deep as you want to go. But we're not going to get into the weeds. We've got a lot of good clips.
How much do you study past races and like finishes to catch try to figure out where you want to be, like closing laps, end of a stage, end of the race? Like how much will you watch that this week?
Quite a bit.
Really?
And nothing from Daytona. Talladega race, so different. Handling's a factor at Daytona.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Atlanta? Nothing from Atlanta either?
Nothing.
Just all pertinent to
all Talladega.
Next gen Talladega races.
Yep. Because the track's super wide, handling never comes in. Third lane is hard to get going unless guys are saving fuel in the middle or the front two bottom lanes. So you have to have good communication with your spotter and crew chief to see when those guys, if you're buried in track position, if you're 7th, 8th and not in line, and the lines start saving fuel, that's when you can get the third lane going to burn fuel for 3 or 4 laps to try to get the first two guys down. So that's where it kind of comes into play. But Talladega races only like Talladega, and Daytona races more comparable to Atlanta now. But it's its own beast.
How much studying will you do with your spotter TJ this week?
We're gonna have a meeting Wednesday of just, hey, I need to hear this in this instant. We need to be in this lane at this time.
Just kind of watch the race together.
He can see the energy more than I can. I can see, you know, aggression levels and guys who have pace up front leading lines, but you know how tight line lines are, where the energy's coming from. It's easier for him to see up top. So that's the sort of stuff you're talking about.
Do you like a lot of talk from him or just pertinent information? Like, what do you prefer?
Yeah, it's just about making your language concise. You know, even just taking words off. For me, it seems like now you have more control over the gap in front of you. You don't care about so much the gap behind you unless you're leading. I care about the gap in front of the car that I'm behind. Because if the car in front of me has a gap to the front, I can push that guy and close that gap. So he's saying half, and I know the first half or first number he says is the gap out front. He can say half one. One means the gap out the back. He can say tight one. That means I'm loose out the back and it's tight gap in the car ahead of me. So I can manage my gap to the car in front of me, but I can also manage that guy's gap in front of him.
Copy. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's getting in the weeds of it. Do you? Yeah.
So we've just tried to save him a radio battery and his vocal cords, just doing that all day, just try to cut words.
Do you have some verbiage for when you're leading?
Yeah, you can just, it's just half, one,
prepare for
drag. Yeah. Yeah, we've led some laps of speedways, and I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that. We just got to lead the right one.
That's right.
Which is the last one. And, we've even seen, we're going to break down some crazy Talladega. We're going to dive into the archives because NASCAR, they've got everything. They got everything archived, and one of the all-time best Talladega memories is when that crazy son of a bitch stole the pace car.
He did. Oh, my goodness.
Well, and took her for a joyride.
1986 Winston 500.
The officials are not driving this thing, and somebody has actually gotten in the pace car and stole it.
It looks like Smokey the Bandit, like they're trying to chase him down. That box ain't catching him.
The best is he did two laps before they were able to stop him, and they kind of blockaded it. What was his plan?
What do you mean?
Like what?
Take it for a hot lap, buddy.
Like everybody's cheering.
Yes.
I think they beat him up.
Maybe not on pit road, but they took him out forcefully, I believe.
Oh, goodness. I wonder if he was drunk. Not only did you steal it, well, I mean, then you got a DWI, too. Like, you get a DWI if you're doing that.
I'd say.
I don't love that. Oh, this.
You don't love it? I think that's great. It's
I don't
like
love driving
it,
drunk, but I don't.
No,
I do
like
love
that,
the guy.
Either.
I mean, I thought it was great at the time.
There's walls. There's catch fences. There's nobody else out there.
It'd be a mess nowadays if somebody did that.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be able to.
I don't know.
Wow.
Race fans are savvy, bro.
I do not recommend. Let me just say, I do not recommend.
I don't recommend that either. But this is a little. If you haven't answered on the Arctic Ice Cold Trivia yet, here's the answer for you. Newsflash, if you're listening to us on Thursday, here's the answer for the Ice Cold Trivia. You can put your name in the comment section. So, Jimmy Horton. You said he was one of your favorite drivers growing up?
Yeah, he's a Jersey dirt racer, man. One of the best big block dirt modified racers to ever do it. Used to watch him at East Windsor growing up. I honestly didn't even know, because I was young. I didn't even know that he had a cup career until, like, I was an adult, because I just watched him in the 43 Dutch's overhead door, big block dirt modified, him and Billy Pouch. Like, it was awesome growing up watching those guys. But, yeah, active racing was a modified team, too, that they went cup racing. And then they,
oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Literally out of the ballpark, dude. What?
He said, it's never good when the first person that gets to you is holding a beer.
That is crazy. Literally out of the ballpark, dude.
Wow, that thing is wrecked.
Moly. We're watching this on YouTube, guys. Make sure you're tuning into this. Ned Jarrett on the scene, too. Dude, there's nothing left of that car. Are you kidding me?
Oh, he's lucky he was okay.
Oh, my. Look, almost it might be a good thing that there's no catch fence there and he just, like, went out of the ballpark. Like,
yeah, then, you know, Dews?
Yeah.
Then Dews was on the team, and they went and interviewed him, and he was like, yeah, tough day for the active Chevy. It's like an iconic thing. But I hate that, like, as good of a race car driver as Jimmy Horton is, I hate that's kind of what everybody in the NASCAR world knows him for.
My man went for a ride. So those are certainly a couple great Talladega memories. Also one, Brad Keselowski, Bad Brad, driving for James Finch, that Phoenix Racing. Chevy.
I remember watching this right in front of me.
Remember? Him and Carl had a monster rivalry.
Huge. Huge. Through the Bush and Xfinity stuff.
And then Carl hooked him at Atlanta, flips over the same thing.
So,
coming to the checkered.
So, I was working. I was a fabricator at Roush then. So, I built that 99 car. I was a finished fabricator, so put the rear windshields in it, did all the side windows.
Did you put that windshield in?
Not the windshield. I did all the back, side glass, rear glass. But we had wrecked. I was either with David Reagan or Jane McMurray. We would ride buses back and forth to the airport, and we were parked in the Xfinity garage, kind of pointed at the track, and we watched that right in front of us. I was like, holy crap. Like, I'd never seen anything like that.
I love this move, too. Just straight Ricky Bobby. I'm going to finish the race. Yeah. Come hell or high water.
This was the crazy two-car tango days.
Dude, unpopular opinion, I love two-car tango.
Really?
It was like chess. There it is.
Yeah, this is one of the iconic moments. Man, Carl Edwards was great for the sport. I wish he was still around. This was a big wreck, and the other one that was a real big wreck was later on when he ended up right hooking Keselowski at Atlanta. I remember watching that right in front of me too, like, oh my god. But
so there's another one. We'll just keep rifling. What is this? Stop meeting like this, man. It looked like before that restart. So Dale Jr. crashed. This is before the DVP.
Oh, come on, if you didn't have it on there.
This is.
Luckily, it was under caution. I just grabbed the.
Oh my god! Talk about an absolute pucker factor moment.
Oh my god. That is the scariest thing.
So he was damaged. They come and fix it, right? They get back in the car. And think, like, that's the sort of stuff NASCAR is trying to prevent introducing the DVP. Just like having your car duct taped together, welding front clips on, and then your driver gets in after being in the motorhome for a half an hour, and you just don't put the steering wheel on.
I welded a rear clip on with a fuel tank full of gas.
Well, you got to go.
Kentucky.
Yeah, you don't have time to drain it.
I swear to you, that is where the DVP came from, because NASCAR is sitting there like, what are you guys doing?
Well,
there's a spot to get. We got to get it. But yeah, that was scary.
Denny Hamlin had that happen as well in qualifying.
Hey, look.
Had his wheel fall
and
off.
And now in that picture is Tiff Daniels in the back, who runs Dirty Mo Media. It's all full circle.
Yep, it is. Yep. 2.66 is the length of the Talladega Circle. I don't know where I was going with that segue. I thought it was a good one.
You had a steering shaft break here.
Oh, my God. First year of the next-gen car. I don't think it broke. I just don't think the set screw was properly inserted or tightened.
You said a steering shaft fall apart here.
Yeah, dude. And
that was a big hit.
That was a large one. It was like 42 Gs.
Oh.
It was like 42 Gs. I'm just kidding.
It was like that's what you
that's
did.
That's why my eggs are scrambled, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I sound the way I do.
That's what, no BS, that's what you did at Charlotte when you scrambled your eggs. You just kept repeating yourself. That was a big hit. Hey, man, that was a big hit.
It was.
That was a big hit, man.
Actually, Kyle Busch and I were talking about this past weekend. He goes, yeah, it's kind of like what you did. I asked him, I was like, that's a pretty big lick in practice. He goes, yeah, it's kind of like yours at Charlotte. So which one?
Yeah.
Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I was hiding my own Easter eggs for a couple weeks after that. But, you know, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
That's it.
Talking about tough, Bubba Wallace is going to join us. He's had not even a tough. He's had a couple great weeks start the season in the top 10 in points. We're going to break down his season. We talked to him on Tuesday, but we're going to hear more of that interview coming up right after this.
I'm Ryan Flores. Join Kim Kuhn and myself each and every week at Around the Track. We'll get you ready for the upcoming race weekends, from short tracks to the Cup Series, whether you'll be attending in person or watching from home.
Coming your way each week is the best bets to win some easy money and driver suggestions to help pump up your fantasy lineups. Around the Track also tells you what to watch for in the NASCAR Regional Series and which young phenom drivers to keep your eye on.
Plus, our At Traction segment gives you all the fan activities, concerts, and tailgating fun at the track. Be sure to check out Around the Track each and every Wednesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
And we're back, guys. Join us right here in the Nonsense Garage. Bubba Wallace joins Stack and Pennies. Hey, buddy.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm all right.
You're tired.
Yeah.
Tired. It's a long night. Long flight back from Texas.
Yeah.
But a couple top tens recently.
No doubt. Man, we had a grind for that one yesterday.
Yeah.
What a awful day for us on the 23 car.
Give us some cliff notes right quick before we get into the good stuff.
Man, like unloaded and we were group B and
that's a place you generally expect to go run well at. Sat in the pole
really.
There.
Not
right.
Really.
Didn't you sit
on
the pole?
Well,
there?
I sat on the pole, but
yeah.
We definitely made a step up into it last year. You know, when we made the playoffs, I grabbed Booty and pulled him aside and I'm like, hey man, round two is gonna kick our ass. It was I think the Roval and Texas. And we show up and have a lot of pace, sit on the pole and, you know, have a career day. So I was like, hey, good job. So obviously, you know, you think you show up and everything's going to be the exact same.
No.
So we adjusted. We over-adjusted. I don't know. It doesn't take much. No. We followed what the 45 was doing because we show up to the track the exact same. Like, exact same. And then we may veer off. You know, a couple adjustments.
Every week,
exact same.
You guys are that much, mm-hmm. that close where you can unload the mm-hmm. same. No?
Yeah. He's got a little bit different things for, like, driver comfort stuff. But,
What, like a booster seat?
Yes, that, for sure.
Pedal extension?
Yes. Yes. he's got the steering wheel where you could, the controls where you can move it closer to
him. Yeah, heated steering wheel.
Yeah, he's got all that. And I went in and I'm like, man, I'm tight. Like I'm just a little tight, like a little uncomfortable tight, and I got out of the car and they're like, "Yeah, you're loose. We'll tighten you up." And so I spent all of Saturday night. I was sitting at. We went to a Tyler Childers concert. Awesome. And like halfway through it, I just sit down and grab my phone and I start firing off text to Booty, like just thinking, like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? I couldn't give the correct feedback. And so I was a little spun out then. He's like, you're fine, got a lot of pace.
So they're looking at SMT, mm-hmm. thinking you're loose.
Yep.
You're telling him you're tight.
Yep. But then, like, you see shallow entry, you see tight center, yep. you see all the things that show loose. But I'm over here like, no, I'm tight.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you're just compensating for being free. I'm like, why can't I get that through my head?
That's like a mid-Tyler Childers concert.
Huh?
It hit you mid-Tyler Childers.
Oh, no, it hit me all day. But then I was really like, okay, what is going on? So, like, I had a massive mental block, even through the race, and I don't know what it was. So we get into the race, and we're okay, and I'm getting pissed off because we keep restarting 10th to 12th, right? We keep restarting there, and then the 14 sticks his nose into one. The 10 doesn't know that we're three wide. We make contact, and I'm up by the wall into one. So, of course, I lose it. Said, I'm tired of restarting while we're restarting, right?
Mm.
Do something to get us track position. Well, we weren't a car good enough to do that. And so when we go up there and get track position, we ran second in that stage. We ran down Ross, but it just wanted to block my vision.
No. Trying to like block this. Your face.
Yeah,
you got a face for radio. That's what they tell me.
There, is that good?
No, I don't know.
No. You made it wait. You were
sorry. You were okay. It was just getting closer. It was creeping
closer.
Out. Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
So then we get up there and
what is yard sale on things
yeah.
at the moment.
We get up there and then we're just too free. So at moments I was too tight and I was too free and just could never get a balance. And so we were just hanging on. Went to the back there and luckily those restarts helped us out. So we just kept
yeah, you went
plugging middle.
From 25th to 8th.
25th to 7th.
Damn.
25th to 7th on those restarts.
Man, I went from 12th to 22nd.
Dang.
So tale of two restarts there. That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to get into the nitty gritty of the weekend. Sit ninth in points.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be feeling pretty good about that 23 car so far this year.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think, you know, that's one of the big things I learned. Like, even as rough as days can get, like, you can't give up, right? I think I kind of learned that. You think you learn that from the get-go. But, like, Charlotte last year, we ran 16th to 20th. Ended up fourth on the last restart.
Mm.
And so you just never give up. As rough as the days are, you know, our guys, we know that. If we have bad days on pit road or if I make dumb calls on the racetrack or we just don't have a good car, like, none of us ever give up. And so that's what you need. And then it starts to kind of stack up. And, you know, we keep saying you keep throwing your name in the hat and it's eventually going to get pulled. Like, I thought the nine winning yesterday was perfect. He's ran top five the last four races.
Yeah.
Hell, he's due.
That's right.
You know, so we got to get a little bit better all around. But, yeah, I think this is obviously the best start we've had to our season and any season. And it's good. It's fun.
Man, I thought that rewind a little bit, right when you go over to 2311, they tab Booty as crew chief.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit confused, not knowing much about Booty besides his time at Germain, but he's been around the garage forever.
A long time.
And I didn't really understand the full scope of how he's gotten the most out of you and made you really reach and like fulfill your potential as a race car driver until I watched that Netflix show.
Yeah.
And you watch him and you watch Booty. He like, he ended up being, there were some comparisons about Günther Steiner. I think they're complete opposites.
I think so too.
Because Booty's just a good old boy.
Yeah.
And he seems to be the perfect fit for you as a crew chief driver pairing. Yep. So what's that been like?
Yeah, it's interesting. I love Booty to death. And I'd say throughout my career, you know, you don't really realize it until you get to, I guess, the top level of what you like and what you need. I had crew chiefs come through, like when I jumped on at the 43, you know, Drew was over there, Drew Blick, and very personable guy, you know, down to earth. And we vibed really well. And then he left to go to, I think, the 34 at that time. And I had my engineer at the time come up, Derek, and we never really vibed like on that personal level. He was super engineering mind based, which is all good. We just never had that click, and the results didn't
Stamets,
show.
Derek Stamets?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I worked with Derek.
Yeah, yeah. He was a great guy, but never
very
could
engineering
get that.
Based.
Yes. And so then I brought Jerry over, and our results picked up.
Yeah, almost know? Like a little bit of Willie B, Rudy. Like
yes.
You're comfortable with them. You had success with them. Let's try to recreate some magic.
Yeah, and so then when I jumped over to the 40 or the 23, you know, I had wheels. And again, very engineering-based, very structured, and just, hey, this is what we're going to do. Like, we show up. We're going to do this, this, and that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm invested into it. Wasn't working out.
It's awkward. It's very awkward with some crew chiefs because what it seems like you need is you need, like, Booty's can say stuff the right way.
Yep.
But with engineers, sometimes the way their feedback is, it doesn't always feel like they have your back.
Right.
Because it's like very much matter of fact.
Yes.
And you're like, no, but I'm dealing with this. No, this is what the numbers
yes,
say.
Yes, 100%. And so, like, you listen to Cliff on the radio with Larson, and you're like, man, it sounds like he says all the right things, like, oh, I'm ready to run through a brick wall, but it's like, is that what, like, I don't know if I'd like that.
Dude, whip out a Cliff. I'm waiting for you to whip out a Cliff.
I know, me too.
I kicked him out of our pit box yesterday.
Biting your tongue over there.
Yeah, he was walking through our pit box. I said, excuse me, don't walk through my pit box. oh, is this yours? And then he came back walking the next way and walked around it. But, dude, that's how Cliff has been since we raced legend cars. Yeah. He's always been like I tell the story.
Very structured.
Well, the first time I ever met him at Southside Speedway, he showed me, like, we were all racing, right? And he showed me... I rebuilt my whole steering column to take all the slop out. I was like, what a freaking nerd.
just like, get your elbows up a little higher.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he's crew chief.
Exactly.
And, you know, but that's what it looks like with Booty. Like, he's personable enough to where you can talk to him.
Yep.
But also, he can convey things in a way to tell, like, put a foot in your ass, but also have your back at the same time.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And also... He's the type, like, okay, we're boys, so whatever you say to me, that I know you're pissed off in the moment. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to get hurt feelings. And he'll tell you, dude, I played football all my life. I had it way worse than what you say. And so it's like having people understand that instead of going back to the shop the next day and everybody's butt hurt. Because we say shit. We're in a car for 3.5 hours.
It's a very isolated feeling.
Yes. And so when you restart 10th to 12th every time and get canned every time, you know, you just, what are we doing? And they're like, we're fine. We'll get it back.
On a scale from 1 to Blaney, how fired up do you get on the radio? Blaney being a 10.
12.
Dude.
Or a 12. He's
okay,
a 12.
Okay, we're going to go there. This guy can drive around bitching, screaming, throwing the bird. Oh, man, he's passionate. Bubba Wallace gets out and flips off his manager behind camera. He just flipped off America. F*** him.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's weird how that is, man.
That's all I'm gonna say.
That's a lot of weight, though. And do you live with that? Do you feel that burden of like expectations and perception? You know, being.
I mean, there's way more eyes for sure. You know, and I think, you know, at times I'd say the biggest thing that I've done in this year, and you know, I was ever since 2020, I was always like, after all the down, right?
Yeah, which you didn't ask for.
No. I was like, okay, I got to prove to everybody that, you know, I belong here and, you know, blah, 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 instead of just
being Bubba.
Exactly. And, you know, thinking that the world is against me and everybody's out to get me, you know, there may be some, but I don't need to invest my time into that anymore. You know, trying to prove everybody right. The people that matter, they know what's right and what's wrong. And
that's right.
And so I think that's helped me out a lot just from the mental side of it. And then showing up to the racetrack and being more comfortable. You know, I definitely lost touch with who I was, for the last couple of years and chasing the wrong thing. And, you know, now that you've kind of gotten back, to being on the right track, things are starting to click. So
that's why I wanted to get you in here. Because I've known you for a long time and I just noticed even from Daytona down there in Speed Weeks, you just seem later on your feet, more excited.
Yep.
Because you, what I've always loved about you is you wear your emotions on your sleeve. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people misconceive Bubba for who you are, because you're a super emotional guy. And you've been outspoken about struggling.
Yep.
Right? There's been seasons where it's been tough and you've had to dig yourself out of the hole and all the things you've been talking about. It seems like, and I wanted to hear from your perspective, are you lighter as you come off?
The scale says no. I'm a little heavier.
I can tell.
Yeah, I am. I, you know, I would show up, let's say the last, 4 years, I'd show up pissed off. Just hadn't even been on a racetrack, show up pissed off and ready to prove the world, like, I'm him.
Uh-huh.
No, you ain't. You ain't done shit. And I think now, you know, I show up, it may look like I'm pissed off, and I try not to give that, hey, I'm pissed off, don't bother me. But like,
it's just them bushy eyebrows.
It is. That unibrow gets connected at points. But I'm so focused on what I need to do, like hyper-focused on what I need to do and what I think I need to do. And, you know, I always talk like what you see of Bubba Wallace at the racetrack is what you see at home. That is starting to change from a, hey, I'm at work right now, let me focus on this, and then we can have fun. But I'm still the same old punk ass kid.
But it's because you've been running better, right? Yeah. That's what it comes 100%. Like, you watch Full Swing, you're a golf guy.
Yeah.
So like, I think of it, it just made me think of, I was watching Rory, the first episode where he was trying to shoulder all that live stuff.
Yep.
And then he started struggling.
Yep.
And it's like, I got to just worry about golf.
Yep.
But you, like, the on track stuff wasn't very good in the 43 days. And it, you know, then you're cup racing and it's not good and you really don't have the team, and then it just snowballs.
Yep.
And now I'd say you're lighter and refreshed because you're just back to racing, right? You're not worried about the bullshit that comes with running bad and having to be in the, okay, so now you're in the media and the news because you're running top five, because you're running up front, you're running for wins. Before, it's like you're in the media and the news just for bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's where Bubba Wallace, the race car driver that we've always known, right? Yep. That's where it's like, it's back. It's not, you don't go show up to the racetrack with a chip on your shoulder trying to prove yourself every week.
No. Now, what is, though, you know, the added competition, the added element there of success within the entire team over there, 2311, what does that kind of come from, right? Is that the collective mission? Is that is that Tyler Reddick coming in and adding some stuff? Is it confidence from the entire group? Where do you see that uptick from?
Yeah, I, oh, man. So I look at, you know, when I was at the 43, man, I had so much fun over there, and every person on that team was a joy to be around, and it was very family oriented. And I instilled a lot of those core values when 2311 was built, and I told them day one, like, hey, I want this to be a mimic of what I had at 43. Like, that's how we all vibe. You know, we talk about Booty and I, you know, it's more family based. Right. And so, you know, I kind of felt like I had a good foundation built for what we have, but, it's an uptick. It's an uptick in performance. You got MJ, you got Denny, you know, those guys are winners, right? Yeah. And Denny is such a data analytics guy. And so he wants us to analyze everything, right? And look at all this information. And I'll admit, the first, what is this, my fourth year? Yeah. So the 3 years, I say 2.5 years, I'm like, holy shit, man, we're having another meeting to look over the same stuff, just in a different way. Like, damn, can we just go race?
Are these initiated by Denny usually?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes from Denny. And then, you know, you have Dave Rogers over there, competition director that, you know.
A lot of smart fellas.
Yes. That, yes, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And, you know, I walked into this year, we have a ton of meetings, and I'm not a meeting person, right? But
surprising.
Yeah, right? But it's clicked. It's like, this is what it takes?
Yeah.
And you sit your ass down and you invest the time. And I think with the new shop, it's so inviting to come over there and just chill and talk about things and brainstorm ideas. As to where before, I was just like, man, I can't wait to get out of this place, the shop in Mooresville.
Yeah. Right?
And that, it's funny. Like, I didn't think that would make a difference, but it actually does. Like, after this, I'm heading
Airspeed. Atmosphere. Hey, what do they call it?
Airspeed.
Airspeed.
Oh, I thought you were saying atmosphere.
That's what they call it. What?
Our shop.
Airspeed. Your shop is called Airspeed?
It's not. It's not the shop.
It's not the shop. I just got a $5,000 fine.
So. What?
That's what they act like.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they want you to say Airspeed, not shop.
That's Airspeed.
Just want to set it. I get it.
Set the precedent.
Yeah. You know, it's something different. You know, Air for Jordan, and then yeah, obviously Speed for Denny. So.
Okay.
And Bubba.
Sure.
Okay. Has it been a big change?
So black. When
you, but you were well, only half. Halfway. It's only half. So you, but you were at the 43, and then your first year at 2311, you didn't have teammates.
No, I didn't.
So did that help, like getting Kurt and then rolling that into Tyler?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, when Kurt came over, obviously it's like, all right, Kurt's gonna come over and kick my ass. So we step up, and he did. Up until Pocono, obviously, and so it just, you know, Kurt is there, he's still there, and he's there to give you a different perspective on things to look at, and how to manage races and whatnot. And then Tyler coming over, I told Amanda, she's like, how's Tyler gonna be? I was like, he's gonna be fast and he's gonna kick my ass, so it's gonna cause me to take a step up in performance, and I think we've done that for sure.
What are some areas you had to work on specifically?
Road courses to start. You know, he's the best at road courses.
Well, I didn't realize that he sucked at road courses, and he's like, I just put in a ton of time.
Yep. On the sim with Josh Wise and
yep.
Scott Speed.
And yep, then going and running some races at Coda.
Yep. He's definitely put in a lot of time there. I struggle to, you may be in this boat too, but sim, I go there and just check the box and I'm done. Because, man, like trying to run a lap on sim at Texas, okay, like you might crash 10,000 times, but it doesn't give you that feeling like I'm about to die.
It's the pucker factor.
The pucker factor is non-existent. And so trying to give true relative feedback,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, just
like off, obviously you see I'm crashing, so tighten it up. So then you just show up to the racetrack.
Plow and tight.
Yeah, it's like, no. Yeah. So, like, that's one of the few tracks that is a little bit off. But yeah, he's a big sim guy. He's a big sim guy. I think he had over 100 hours on sim last year.
Really?
Yeah, and I had 20.
Well, it's all tools, right? And like tools. People, it just, yep, you got to figure out the tools that work for you. Going back to what you talked about with Denny, mm-hmm, like the analytics, right? Yep. You can drown yourself in numbers.
100%.
You got to figure out which numbers are important to make you successful and which numbers you don't need to worry about.
Yep. So the meeting side of it. And like, you know, throughout the race, I get these like little, okay, let's put that to the side and talk about Monday. That's where before I'm loose, I'm tight. We had good pit stops and we finished 15th, like whatever. Mm. Now it's like, all right, what did I need to be better? Texas, throw that one out because I said I had a mental block. But like Coda, Richmond, Bristol, or not Bristol, Martinsville, like all the short track package stuff, there was some stuff that I felt like was relevant through all three. And it's like, this is where we need to dive in at, you know? And so being more invested in the team, I think, has given us all an uptick. But yeah, just the, like, I feel like I'm asking all the right questions. And not afraid to ask the dumb ones, like that may seem dumb, like, hey,
yeah,
you know, are we running fifth gear like the whole, like, just,
yeah,
you know? And it's like, that's actually question. A good question, you know, figuring out the little things that actually matter, you know, all adds up.
Going back to I like using the driver as an analogy as quarterback, mm-hmm, right? Because you're on the field, you get the ball every play. Crew chief's the head coach. Spotter is like the offensive coordinator,
yep,
right? He's kind of looking it over, he has a feel for the defense, all that. I think it's also talked about how Booty has your back. You've been working with Freddie now how long?
Yeah,
like a decade.
2010.
Yeah, 12 years.
Yep.
14 years.
Yep.
How important is that relationship? Because right now, it's just like he knows what you're thinking and you know what he's about to say.
Yeah.
Type of relationship.
Yeah. It reminds me of 2015. We were both at Roush. He was doing Biffle and Patty was a crew chief. And we walk out of a – I'm going home out of our debrief meeting and Patty busts out the door. Hey, man, how long have you been working with Freddie? And at that time was, what, 5 years? Can you understand what the f*** he's saying? I'm like, yeah, it's 5 years of experience. He's like, holy cow, I think he's good, but damn, he talks like, so fast.
Oh, talking fast. I just didn't know if that was that New York accent.
Long Island.
But, you know, fast forward to where we're at now, Freddie and I are like brothers. Again, it goes back to that family atmosphere. Hey, man, you sucked up on the roof today. He's going to be like, well, you sucked inside the race car.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're right. We'll go back to work next
keep,
week.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. And so, you
did
know,
you
having,
did you tell him to shut up at Bristol? And he goes, copy, shut the fuck up.
Yes. Because I got out of the groove. You know, when you got out of the groove.
Oh, yeah.
It was done. Yes. And so he talked for like 2.5 laps straight. And he was like, all right, if you got to come to us, then bring it to us. The boys will be ready. Boys, get ready. He's coming to you. And all I needed to say was, I'm fine. I just got loose, and I need to get the tires cooled back off.
And get all the shit off.
Yes. But he was nonstop. And I said, shut the fuck up, cop. So it is what it is. So,
yeah, man, having those relationships are so, so important. So looking, we talked about the past, but looking through the rest of the year, looking pretty good for a playoff spot. Still
we're
got
only
a lot of
nine races in, pal.
Yeah, but you're still – ninth in points, looking pretty good. Yeah. Running strong enough.
Yep.
What are some areas the 23 team needs to work on, and what do you feel strong about? Going to Talladega this week, you've been in contention to win about every time you're there.
Yeah. If we replay last year's race there, then obviously close out the last lap. I feel
what do
like
you do different?
The 8 was blocked in, so all I needed to do was stay bottom. And me and the 12 could have drag raced to the line.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for us, you know, we've looked at strategy stuff's been a huge topic for the 23 team of kind of not doing necessarily the right things. Now, I kind of tiptoe around this because I don't know much about strategies. Like in the middle of the race, man, I'm trying not to crash at Texas. I'm not worried like, okay, I got 20 laps on my tires. The run is 50 laps, so I think we should pit now. That's not my job.
Yeah.
That's not my job.
And just feel
and
a tire.
Maybe that'll happen in the next 5 years if I have a job. But, like, I don't think Kyle
Larson's thinking about that either.
Well, some like Denny, Kyle Busch, those guys, they can think about strategy in the middle and, you know, hey, I'm coming now. And it's like, man, I wish I could understand that, but maybe that's another day. So we've definitely, you know, gotten a little bit better at strategy side. We've had a lot of hard meetings and a lot of, you know, what the f*** are we doing, you know? But I think now, like I look at Martinsville and we lost it. We lost it on the final pit stop, that green flag pit stop. We just got too free. So if we've accomplished stage one, stage two, like that's a big improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Stage three is obviously the money one.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make the most of it in there because everybody gets their cars damn near perfect at that point.
Yeah.
And so I still think and sometimes we do. And other times it's like, damn, we missed it by, a half a tenth of air pressure.
I know, dude.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
So nailing that on the head, I think, is where we will start to shine.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. I got
nothing to say. I'm pumped. I think that you said it best, you know, with the 45, I think high tide raises all ships. And it's been fun to watch just you get back to who we knew you were, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Every time I talk to you, we talk about watching you at the summer shootout, right?
Yep.
And then going to your first Cannon race, you won with Freddie.
Yep.
Remember when you planked? Is that when you planked on
planked,
the roof?
Yeah,
you were planking back then.
Yeah.
Big planker guy.
Yeah, big planker.
I just think it's cool. Like, I was thinking about this morning coming in here when I sit back and kind of all of us that grew up together, I was thinking about all the just that we've done on this property.
Yeah.
Right? And like all the people that have come out of here, right?
Yeah.
Peterson.
Yeah.
Crew chief.
I know,
in the 34.
I think about that all the time too, yeah.
Who's your Kyle, is it Kyle? That's yeah, your. I manager, saw him with yeah. his mustache yeah. on pit road this weekend. I'm like, yeah. man, we're all. It's our time now.
Yeah.
Right. We're like we were all growing up together and. Yeah. Coleman, and it's just it's really cool to see, but
he can't even talk to Coleman no more.
I just
it's like, hey man, he's like, who are you? I'm like, yep, you're right.
Right. Speaking of spotters,
I knew what you wanted to. I know what I wanted to ask you about. It's happened a couple times after Kansas, victory lane, or on the front stretch, sitting down next to your car after Bristol. You do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's that to?
All the
haters.
Exactly. That.
Because what is that noise? Like, what is that noise that? Because it could go either way. It could drive you into a hole, yep. or it can fuel your fire.
Yeah, yeah. So that was noise? Obviously, you know, like I said, that was the showing up, having a chip on your shoulder, like proving them that they were wrong, right? And that mm-hmm. was that moment, like, hey, pipe down.
Here I am.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So we did that. You know, they don't want to give the credit. You know, we led the last 67 laps of, including there's a green flag stop, at Kansas. You know, they don't see that. You know, so I feel like for me, it's, and this isn't me, you know, poking my chest out, but like the goalpost is always being moved,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, move it. I don't care. Y'all are working twice as hard as me. I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
And so, I think that was just to be like, you know, to shut people up.
Yeah. You get booed well,
the
everywhere.
The loudest.
Mm-hmm. Every track. Yeah. Does that wear on you, or are you over that?
It did, for sure. You know, especially after all the went down. Like, man, Kyle was still driving the 18, so he was still hated. It would rival him.
Yeah, nobody even was mad at him anymore.
Dude. So I was standing there for qualifying.
Feel bad for him now.
Standing there for qualifying. Standing there for qualifying at Martinsville. And Kyle and I mean, we talk every blue moon if we cross paths. But he was pitted two stalls down from me, and I thought about going over there. But, he runs his lap. Nah. He runs his lap, and people are cheering. Boom, top of the board, Kyle Busch. Ah! And I'm like.
This wasn't last week.
Yeah, last week.
In Texas?
No, Martinsville.
Oh, okay. Texas.
Yeah.
He was.
No. Martinsville. Not junked. You know, he makes the top of the board to get there, and people are screaming and cheering, and I'm like, holy cow.
The tides have turned.
What is this alternate universe we live in? Well, and the other one that gets booed, too, is Denny, so they're doubling down.
I think Denny's probably the loudest. Like, I feel like mine's kind of tapered down a little bit. Depends on where we go.
I would say that's right.
Yeah. Darlington, they're loud and proud down there, so that'd be a good one to win in front of.
The one that gets me is Tennessee, because you're – Tennessee,
go Vols! Yeah. Yeah. It's like, all right,
he's not. Yeah. We don't claim him.
Yeah, so it is what it is. I mean, you know, I said like,
how do you turn that though from like those jeers from being like weighing you down into fuel?
You know, like I'll go back to Martinsville when Kyle bumped me to second place. You know, boo, you suck. You know, it's like, huh? I just qualified second. Like, doesn't suck. It's, yes, it sucks to lose the pole. Okay. Yeah. So it's understanding, like, half of them don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I would say 97% of them don't.
I was being generous. I was being nice. I'm trying to gain a couple of them back, so I said half.
No, it's way more nice. Not 97.
Yeah. And so I'm
truly
like.
Truly know, like, the deal.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, they're passionate. They don't like me. That's totally fine. It's the ones that, you know, you suck. All this nonsense stuff that I've proven wrong mm-hmm. time and time again. And so I've started to understand, like, to separate, like, that real hate from just the making noise. And so, like I said, it's tapered down and it's expected now. And so I just don't invest my energy into that anymore.
Yeah.
I'd say 85% of the people, maybe more, that boo you, if they saw you at the gas station, would be asking for an autograph.
1,000%.
Sure. Yeah.
One. You know what's so funny? So I don't know if you're like this, Corey. Like, everywhere you go, you're like, go to the grocery store, go to the restaurant.
No, you're like an A-minus level. No. I'm like a D.
What I'm getting at is your awareness. I'm always aware of, like,
people are like, look.
Like, as soon as you walk in, like, yep, cashier recognizes you. And it's not like, oh yeah, they recognize me. It's the ones like, okay, I hope they don't ask mid-bite, hey, can I get a picture?
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, is that person genuine or is something going to go down? Like, whatever. And so I'm always mindful of that. So even at the racetrack, I'm
looking. Is there an interaction that, like, sticks out? Like, somebody was not polite or, like, just at the wrong place at the wrong time?
No, it's funny. I had one guy come up to me. I think this was last year. Or it may have been a Twitter interaction or something. But he was like, man.
Those are where the real thoughtful conversations go down.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. He was like, man, I thought you were terrible and you sucked as a human being. And, man, you've proved me wrong and I apologize for everything.
Huh.
And I was like, damn, all right. That's 1%.
Yeah, get one back.
Yeah, I got one back. Yeah. Interactions, no, I think, the worst ones are when you're eating and somebody asks you, like, mid-bite.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be like, no, not right now. Let me finish my meal. You know, and then
that's tough because that's their first impression of you.
Yep,
you blew them off because you're eating a sandwich.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
double-edged sword. So, you know, now you know what I think about. I think about like all the aftermath of everything. Like going into turn one, like I'm a little bit at Texas. I'm a little bit tight here. It's gonna snap soon. Talking about this, oh, race car drivers have it so bad. Can't even go to a restaurant. Must feel so bad for them.
Oh yeah,
like.
I don't feel bad for you, sissies. But hey, listen, everybody loves Tony Stewart. When I worked for him, he would chase fans down and argue with them. Why? No. Hey, get over here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to practice. You're asking me for an autograph.
Yeah. And some people just don't know boundaries. And I think that's tough to kind of be like, hey, right now I'm in the moment. Yeah. Like, this has nothing to do with you. Like, I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're focused.
Yeah. And so it can be taken way out of context super fast. So
yeah,
you have
not
to
a lot
be
of
mindful.
Grace afforded.
No. But then you watch the Masters and those guys are obviously hyper focused. And people are cheering and they just grab their hat. They're probably motherfucking themselves. They just grab their hat, like, tip of the cap, like, "Oh, yeah, he really shows that he appreciates y'all."
Right.
But we're like, "Hey, wait a minute. F*** him."
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it is weird. And then you're expected to take pictures and shake hands the second you get in the car.
Yep.
We can get into that another day. Because we
that's
now
a whole another episode. Call me back for that one.
We'll have you back before right when you make playoffs.
Perfect.
And you do a couple of these to the haters, and we'll have you right back.
Okay.
In.
Cool.
You're welcome back to the Nonsense Garage anytime. But before you leave, I got three questions.
Oh,
if you had to pick one car and one track to race at the rest of your life, what do you go with?
I'm gonna go back. To the old Twisted Sister at Homestead.
Cup car or Xfinity car?
Cup car.
Yeah.
Give me all
Homestead.
The power. Homestead.
Like 07?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was Homestead repaved? Or
Reconfigured?
Yeah. Well, that. So has it been repaved since it's been reconfigured?
No.
I don't think
so. Okay. So we're going on like 50 years of same asphalt?
No.
It was like too early 2000s.
Yeah. 05, 04.
Maybe. Oh, so you would have been ripping around Homestead in 2007 then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see that.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to run this close to the wall to make speed. You could actually run like lane one and be like, okay, I like this down here.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. What's your most embarrassing moment at the racetrack?
Oh. Man. I'm going to say... I don't know, like off track at the racetrack. I don't know, but I'll go with Texas last year. Restart.
You feeling like you gave it up?
100%. All I had to do
and
was
you
take.
And you're embarrassed by that?
Yeah, yeah. Because that was locking into the next round.
Mm.
And that was, hey man, Texas is gonna kick our ass. We show up and dominate, and then you give it away.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Talk 1,000%. About just so like. The ride to the airport, like the flight where you just have steam coming out of your ears. Like, what is that? Like, what are you wrestling
with? Yeah, it's hard because obviously my wife's there next to me. Hey, you did great.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just.
No, I didn't.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Yeah.
Did you not watch it?
Yeah.
Please don't talk to me about racing right now.
Yes, yes. And then in that moment you're like, hey, man, she didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, hey, understand the situation. And she gets it. She's been around for, what, 7 years
Oh, she
years
knew
now.
What she was getting into.
Yeah, for sure. I think I told her that. I was like, hey, we started dating in Vegas. I invited her out. I said, hey, by the way, if races don't go that great, I'm pretty evil to be around for 20 minutes. Don't take it personal.
Minutes.
Just call Freddie and yell at him.
Hours? Your hours? Just call my dick lingers for days.
Call, yeah, minutes.
Just, yeah. 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 If you get mad at her, hold on. Hey, Siri, call Freddie. Listen.
So, yeah, I think I'd say Texas was probably the biggest embarrassment.
All right.
Because, you know, you're the underdog, right? And it's almost a layup. So I chose the top around Larson. Obviously, we had our race. He spun underneath.
Mm-hmm.
The restart after that, Willie B's on the inside, smoked him off the line, clear by 1.5 getting into one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay, I'm going to take the top again. Chase Briscoe. He won't lift.
No, he won't.
So,
what did he do? He pushed you in the corner?
No, he was underneath me and run me up. And then Willie B got underneath him.
Oh, down the
and then I chased him, and yeah, it just
got tight.
All I needed to do was restart bottom and
deuces.
So you and Chase Briscoe have had a little bit of a
very small, very minute. Like, I have no grudges against him.
Other than he caused the most embarrassing moment of your career, like you just said.
That was my decision. So copy. That was my decision.
Yeah, minor detail. Minor detail to the story.
But if I wanted to be that petty, I'd
So you would. So you would, going back to it, you'd just pick the bottom.
I would have picked the bottom on the last restart.
Copy.
Yep. Had Byron push me, and maybe him and I race it out. But yeah.
All right. What's your first racing memory?
First,
could be at the track, in the car.
Mine would be my first go-kart race.
Where at?
Jasper, Florida. I don't even know if that track's still there, but yeah, there was it was raised. So like, if you ran off track, it was down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, old Bubba Wallace just finding his way out there, gets in a wreck, and
down the hill
I
you
start
go.
Spinning down the hill, and all I see is a Chevy Suburban sitting there, and I'm like, oh. I'm about to KO this thing, and we're going to have to pay for it.
Mm.
And, like, so I just – it's the ones where you see it as you're spinning, and so it's like, when is this coming? So you brace for it. It's like if you spin on the bottom of Texas, you got 2 days to wait for the impact.
Mm.
So I just do this, and next thing you know, I come to a really soft stop, and I'm like, boom. And I'm like – I look, and there's a fence you couldn't see. I'm like, oh, okay, we're good. That was probably it. And then the cart was mangled up, and my dad had said this. He's like, you got out, and you asked if we could fix it and get back out there. And he was like, I knew we're in this.
Got that dog in.
Got the dog in him. Our dog
last,
of the week.
Last one. Last one. You can't promote yourself to dog of the week, though, so you're automatically disqualified. Last one.
Not the first time.
If you had – I know you want to make – you want to make a ton more memories in the sport, and I know you're on your way to do so. But to this point, if you had to lose, if I had like the Men in Black wand, like the little pen that zaps all your memory, you had to keep one. What memory are you keeping?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's a fun one. Which one am I keeping? I'm gonna go with Kansas.
Yeah,
Kansas was one of those legend car wins. It's one of them back to like K&N wins. Like,
yeah,
just straight
pure.
Oof. Like, we were decent all day. We ran, I think, top five both stages. But the way we, you know, raced the 24 there on the last restart, raced with the 5, passed both of them in 3 and 4, hawked down the 48, passed them in set sail, and then just executed on pit road. Like, everything clicked, right? And it was like, damn, that hasn't happened in a really long time, and that one felt good. You know, not to take anything away from your first win at Talladega, but we were in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Super speedway racing, it doesn't matter if you execute all day, go in there with a plan, win the race, it's still not as accomplished, like a sense of accomplishment as doing that at a mile and a half or a short track.
Yep, for sure. So I would say Kansas. Kansas was that one. People ask me, what's your favorite win? And it's like, Kansas.
Yeah. All right, well, I love it. I love to see it clicking for you and that 23 Thanks, team. Keep it moving. You're welcome back anytime. Bubba Wallace in the Nonsense Garage, everybody.
Thank you.
Join Todd Goyne and myself each week for NASCAR Inside the Race. We'll break down exactly how the race was won.
Plus, we'll dive into the data and go in depth on race strategies, penalties, and rule changes.
Catch NASCAR Inside the Race, presented by Consumer Cellular, each Tuesday on NASCAR's YouTube channel.
I hope you guys enjoyed Bubba Wallace joining us right here in the Nonsense Garage. Busy week this week. A lot of content coming out for Stacking Pennies. No matter where you listen to it, whether you're listening to it on SiriusXM Channel 90, on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever, or social clips. We're giving out stuff, Arctic stuff, each and every week. Don't miss it. We're going to fire up some spare change for you guys on Thursday as well, so be on the lookout for that on every single week. We're going to try to go get a dub this week, buddy.
Pulling for you. Hope you run second.
I hope I win.
If we don't win, I hope you do.
Okay, thanks. I like the little
wreath. And if neither of us win, I hope Bubba does.
I like the wreath they give you now.
It's cool.
Yeah. Is it real flowers?
I don't think so. I don't know. Every time I've seen it, Blaine's been wearing it, so I haven't like walked up to him and been like, let me touch your wreath. The Victory Lane there is different, though, because it's long ways instead of kind of pulling into
it. It's pretty cool,
though.
It's unique.
It's cool. Fans, you know, it's fans are in there. It's fun.
Speaking of fans, if you're there as a fan, you can come at 2 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to be there in Victory Lane stage or right around there. They're in the Big Bill's Garage or whatever they call it. It's pretty cool. Come check us out. We'll have some friends come by, stop by for a couple things, and we'll be there just hanging out, chilling. You won't. You're racing a modified this week. But you'll be stacking spennies at Bowman Gray.
Yeah, come see. If you're at Bowman Gray Stadium, come up. Tell us that you listen to the show. Maybe you could be the penny stacker of the week.
Maybe. It's a big honor. I'm sure there'll be a ton of penny stackers at Talladega and Bowman Gray Stadium. Appreciate you guys each and every week for tuning in. That's it. Goodbye.
See ya.